Hello, everyone. This is Marty Jones, and this is the Outdoor Citizen Podcast, brought to you by Alamosa Citizen and San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. You're listening to a song from Don Richmond. This is Sea Turtle from his album Instrument. This is episode one, and along this journey, we will explore the outdoors of the Great San Luis Valley, talk conservation with some of the smartest minds, and give you up-to-date information on trails, events, and outdoor happenings that make this a beautiful place to call home. Let's get started. We welcome to this first podcast, Mick Daniel, the Executive Director of the San Luis Valley Great Outdoors, or SLV GO, and Chris Lopez, who, along with his wife Marianne, founded AlamosaCitizen.com. If you are not familiar with the San Luis Valley, let me give you a little bit of background. This is the largest high-altitude desert in North America, 8,000 square miles, about the same land area as the state of Massachusetts. Six counties in Colorado, Alamosa, Conejos, Costilla, Mineral, Rio Grande, and Sawatch, and parts of two counties in New Mexico, Rio Arriba and Taos, comprise the San Luis Valley. We're at an average elevation of 7,664 feet and are surrounded by mountains. To the east, we have the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. To the west, we have the San Juan Mountains. And to the north, we have the Sawatch Mountains. The music that we started with and that we'll start and end every podcast with is from Don Richmond, a musician famous in the San Luis Valley in northern New Mexico, and his reach extends into Texas as well. His music just fits the valley so nicely. It reminds me of the great outdoors. Let's go ahead and have some conversation with our guests. So we'll begin with Mick Daniel, the executive director of SLV GO. Please, Mick, give us an idea of the mission of SLV GO and how this podcast can help to support it.
Sure. I won't read the mission to you, or I probably should have it memorized being the executive, but it's kind of a complicated and a long one. And I think that kind of came from, it came from a group of people who are working together to talk about our outdoor spaces back in 2013. And of course, we've been in that conversation much longer than that. There was actually a trails plan in 1997 that has mainly sat on the shelves of various economic development organizations throughout the valley for a long time now. But in 2013, some of us came together. I happened to be part of that to just talk about why we weren't doing more with our outdoor assets in the San Luis Valley. And that grew into a grant to GOCO and would form the master plan of San Luis Valley Great Outdoors, which we've kind of been operating on ever since. That coalition in 2016 wrote a grant that was able to hire day-to-day operations, and that ended up being me. And so I came on board in December of 2016 and have been working with the organization ever since, kind of being the day-to-day of that master plan. And I think the mission is broad because the master plan is broad. We have six counties. All of them are unique. 17 townships, municipalities spread throughout the San Luis Valley, all of which are unique. And the needs of the people who live here vary and are different. And I think we kind of landed in the sweet spot in that we've really decided to try to help our communities connect to their open space and public land. When I say public land, that could be federal, but it could also be owned by the county or owned by the municipality as well. And a lot of those lands are often underutilized and overlooked, and they are paid for by the taxpayers. And so we want to help provide access when we can, when it makes sense for the community. We like to have the community's involvement in that and work with them, have conversations about it. one of those conversations was is happening in Monta Vista here this month called Recreation Economies for Rural Communities. I think Gigi is going to be a guest here. And so we kind of built that from the Revitalize the Rio experience in Alamosa, and we've just kind of kept building in that way, working with trying to work with each community in a way that's meaningful for them to connect open space. We, of course, hope we get projects from that for trail building. I think we're probably known for trail building and our stewardship crew, the Great Outdoors Action Team, a.k.a. the Goats.
Goats.
Shout out to them. Completely different from what other stewardship-like organizations are doing throughout the state. Most of those other organizations are using youth, and we didn't want to, like, get in the way of Southwest Conservation Corps, who are already operating in the San Luis Valley, or volunteers. And we had good partnerships with Volunteers for Outdoor Colorado, so we didn't want to do that model. So we went with kind of an employment model. And, you know, so we have a professional trail crew. I mean, most are 25, somewhere between the ages of 25 and 62. So we have a broad age range of people who work in that. And, man, that crew has accomplished so much. I've been really impressed. Just everything we've thrown at them, they seem to have rose to the challenge and learned how to do it and do it well. And then we expanded. We recognized early on, if we were in the business of talking about trails and getting trails on the ground, that we also had to talk about conservation and specifically wildlife conservation and understand the role that recreation had on impact to wildlife. And so, whether anybody knew it or not, that was like, it was just about impossible to get dollars to put trails on the ground without first doing a NEPA or having wildlife experts come in and help evaluate the area. So we just knew that that had to become part of our new direction too. Like we couldn't, one thing couldn't stand by itself. We also had to also be good at the wildlife conservation piece of the conversation. And so that started just with the Regional Partnership Initiative, which Danny Robbins. And, you know, we've been lucky to be funded for that. We're up for funding again this year as part of the Colorado Regional Partnerships Initiative. We had a survey that went out attached to that information late last year and early this year, and I'm going to announce the winners here in a little bit.
Ooh, exciting.
We had drawings so that, you know, people could win and just incentivize that. But the survey was a great success. We had way more people fill it out than we had the original survey. We haven't had a chance to get into that data yet, but we're looking forward to learning more about it. And then we also recognized from the Revitalize the Rio initiative that there was a huge health component to being outdoors. It was kind of on the brink of a lot of people's conversations, and there are a lot of initiatives happening nationwide and statewide as well. But we've kind of forged our own path with that, and we were able to hire a wellness coordinator earlier this year, Esteban Salazar, and we have a new program called the Embajadores, so Hispanic outdoor leaders who will be introducing people to be honest, to a lot of our projects, but also just outdoor spaces for communities, trying to bridge the gap. You know, if you're one of those people who maybe don't know where to go, or if you've never been on a hike in the backcountry before, like hopefully the Embajadores can kind of bridge that gap for you and help you get outside. And same for mountain biking and other outdoor sports too, like ice fishing. We had great success, more than 60 participants in 3 ice fishing programs here in January. And then Generation Wild. I think a lot of people, they hear about Generation Wild, they don't know quite what it is, but it's 11 different partners now who've all come together to share funding to get kids outdoors. And it's a great partnership. It's a coalition that's consistently been building. We went through strategic planning processes and brought all these great outdoor leaders together to kind of share in the vision of getting more youth outside. I won't sit here and list all the partners right now. And then our, some of our more most recent work, of course, is Heart of the Valley Trail, which is a concept of, you know, trail corridors, non-motorized trail corridors connecting our communities throughout the San Luis Valley and connecting those communities to open space. very much in the beginning of the planning process of that and trying to figure out what corridors work best. And we always look for kind of that like low hanging fruit, so to speak. Like what's the first thing we can kind of really activate and move into. And that's, so that's where we are right now is, you know, looking at what the possibilities are, what the costs are. These are going to be very expensive projects because we're often going to be operating in CDOT corridors or right-of-ways of roads or railways potentially. And so very complicated just process and like trying to figure out what the low-hanging fruit is with that. And then what a lot of you have probably heard about too, because Danny does such an amazing job of getting the word out, but is our Dark Sky Initiative, the Sangre de Cristo Dark Sky Reserve. We're hoping to have an application in this year for that. And Danny's been working with not only counties in the San Luis Valley, but also Chaffee County and Huerfano County on the other side of the Sangres to really pull together an application that could be beneficial for our community. And dark skies are important not only from a tourism aspect or just a sheer wonder aspect, but we don't often recognize the impact that lights cause to wildlife. And, you know, we know a lot of things are happening with wildlife, and I think each user group's quick to blame the other user group, but I think there are a lot of issues outside of climate change alone. Climate is changing, things are different than, and one of those is dark skies. And so working to preserve dark skies, I think, begins to help build our habitat a little bit. So I'll pause there in case, let's go, and our mission, I guess.
Yeah, excellent. Well, you know, our other guest, Chris Lopez, is the founder of Alamosa Citizen. I want to give him a chance to explain why he wanted to start the Outdoor Citizen podcast.
Yeah, no, thank you, Marty. And, you know, I want to say first that how thrilled we are to have you hosting this podcast, The Outdoor Citizen. When we had been planning it and we'd been talking about potential hosts, and Mick brought your name in, and then I told a few people in the community, hey, we're going to start a podcast, going to be called The Outdoor Citizen, and Marty Jones is going to host it. And people were like, I love Marty Jones. I love Marty Jones. And we knew that. We knew that. And so we're really appreciative
well,
for you joining
much,
us.
Well, thank you very much, Chris.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's my pleasure to do this.
You know, I'm a big fan of Mick's work, SLV Go. The Citizen launched in end of 2021, so we did our first year of publishing in 2022, and we wanted to focus on the Upper Rio Grande Basin. And through the Upper Rio Grande Basin, then you get water, you get to look at the water challenges of the Upper Rio Grande, you get into conservation, you get into outdoor adventures, you get into the outdoor life of the San Luis Valley. And when we're doing that work, SLV Go is at the center of it all. And, you know, I left Marty when I graduated Adams State in 1984. And I was gone and left, did my journalism career, saw the world. And I came back at the end of 2015, first full back 2016, 30-some years later. And when I came back, I noticed something had changed about the valley. And that was the trail systems. Growing up here, I was always on the Rio Grande. We used to swim in the Rio Grande. We used to ice skate in the wintertime on the Rio Grande, Marty.
Yeah, I can believe that, but not so much anymore.
And then I came back and I started to go back out. I started back on the trails, and I noticed how much better they were. And I kept asking, how did this happen? And it always pointed back to McDaniel. And I was like, who's McDaniel? I got to meet this guy. And so I ended up meeting him while I was at Boys and Girls Club because I was about getting kids walking.
Sure, yeah.
And that's how Mick and I finally crossed paths. And then I started to learn more about SLV Go and all the amazing work they do. And so as we were talking about this, we were like, we should collaborate on a podcast that explores the outdoors of the valley. And then Mick said, we should get Marty Jones to host. And then they went, I love Marty Jones. So here we are.
Okay. Very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to give a shout out to SLV Go also, because where we live in Alamosa is less than a mile from one of the newer city parks, the Riparian Park. And SLV Go has partnered with the city and the goats. I've seen the goats out there doing the trail work out there, along with some other volunteers as well. But it just makes it so easy to be outside between the Malm Trail, the trails out at the disc golf course. SLV Go has been involved in all the new trails that have come up.
Yeah, and I, you know, just a shout out to Patrick Ortiz with the, he's our operations director and really runs the day-to-day operations of the GOATs. It was his vision, you know, to really bring, like, people considered Go a trails organization, but we were just really trail advocates, and we were doing some funding, but we weren't digging, and that was Patrick's vision to really make that happen, and he's really brought that to fruition and brought that team out, you know.
Yeah. And I want to be sure everyone is clear that SLV Go is not a single community organization. The work that you've done down in San Luis, in Monte Vista, Del Norte, all across the San Luis Valley, it is the San Luis Valley Great Outdoors, not the Alamosa Great Outdoors, not the Monte Vista Great Outdoors, the San Luis Valley Great Outdoors.
Yeah, we've worked really hard at that. Yes. We really do try to, like, plan things appropriately and reach out. But, if you're a community or a community member somewhere and we haven't done a project or aren't involved in your community and you want us to be, like, give us a shout. Like, because we can't live in every community in the San Luis Valley, we really rely on community champions who have a vision to, like, and we come in full-heartedly and try to support them.
And with that in mind, how can people contact you?
Probably the easiest way is just slvgreatoutdoors@gmail.com. That's kind of our catch-all email, and it comes out, and then we'll get it to the right person to get back with them. But before we go too far, I want to mention these prize winners from the survey.
Excellent. The tension is building.
So, again, thanks for everybody who filled out the survey. Like, that information is going to be invaluable to us in our next steps and through the next year as we really look at kind of SLV Go's new strategic plans, especially as it comes to conservation. So a half-day rafting trip with Mountain Man Rafting, Mandy Pittman.
Ooh, Mandy. Excellent. Hey.
Christy Mountain Sports, $25 gift card. Jeff Vincent, Grantley Showalter, Judd Barlow, and Deborah Allen. Each win $25 gift cards.
Nice.
And then two Mountain Film on Tour tickets. One goes to George McGuire, and the other one, Elizabeth Breckbill. And then we have two ski or snowboard rentals from 8200 Mountain Sports. One of them goes to Patsy Thomas, and the other, Stephanie or in.
Excellent. Well, thanks for announcing that. Have the winners been contacted, will they find out?
This is the first time we've mentioned them. Yeah. So
excellent. Pretty exciting.
We wanted to do it on the podcast first, and then we'll get them out to Facebook and other, and then email them too, of course. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, excellent. How many surveys, just out of curiosity, I'm just curious for Mick, how many surveys they were able to get as they went through that process, because I'm looking forward to seeing the results.
And that's a great question. I'm not going to have the exact number. I know that the original, we are right around 340, and we surpassed that back in mid-January. So I think we ended up, like, somewhere right around 400.
Oh, yep. Very good. Yep. Very good. Anything else that we should discuss before we move to a different segment?
I'm good. I really like having Mick here because he deserves a lot of credit, Marty.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's a modest guy. But, you know, the work he did at Adams State with the Outdoor Adventure Program, which he got that going, and he was involved in that. And then he makes the transition to the nonprofit world with SLV Go. Years later, almost 10, look at where we are. I mean, done great work, Mick.
Thank you, Chris. And again, shout out to you too. We played around with podcasting during COVID, just in an effort because we didn't know what to do with ourselves at first.
Yeah, I remember those early podcasts. Right.
Marty was, I think you were one of our first guests.
Yeah, I was a guest on.
Yeah. So the tide's turned, I guess. Is it? But when Chris came and mentioned it, I just was like, oh, man, yeah, I totally want to support that. And then the team was as excited about it. So really excited to see where it goes throughout this next year. And glad you agreed to be a part of it.
And I wonder, can we give a little shout-out to the Valley Pod, which is the podcast that the Alamosa Citizens started? and they have regular weekly guests that are always fun to listen to. Chris does a great job hosting that and always finds good topics for the Volley Pod.
Yeah, no, appreciate that. You know, we had over 8,000 downloads in 2022 on the Valley Pod. We're closing in on our 100th episode and trying to figure out what we're going to do for the 100th episode. We want to bring in a variety of people and do something a little bit different for that episode, and that's coming up. But the podcasting has been a good experience for the citizen.
I'm some of those downloads. I try to listen every week.
Yeah, excellent.
We hope for some of the same success for the Outdoor Citizen, and no doubt we're going to get there with Marty.
Well, it won't be because of me. It will be because of the guests that have already been lined up. So, very good. All right, and that sound that you just heard of birds in the San Luis Valley, sandhill cranes, red-winged blackbirds, a variety of birds. I know lots of folks are really into bird watching. We have some excellent birders here in the San Luis Valley, and hopefully we'll have a chance to have them as guests at some point in the future. But you're going to hear that sound as we transition from one segment of the podcast to the next. And so we're going to give you some outdoor conditions at this time. The latest ski conditions at Wolf Creek: a summit depth of 94 inches and a midway depth of 84 inches. All lifts are open. Mountain conditions are favorable right now with extensive grooming on all the runs, and there's a good combination of powder and packed powder. Coming up on February 12th is a local appreciation day, where locals can enjoy discounted ticket prices. Monarch Mountain is reporting a base depth of 54 inches. They've received 6 inches of snow in the past couple of days. Their season total is 169 inches. All the trails and areas are open. 5 of the 7 lifts are operational right now. Down in the southern end of the valley, Taos Mountain is reporting a summit depth of 53 inches, a midway depth of 43 inches, and there's a 20% chance of snow showers later in the week. The San Juan Nordic Club is a group that grooms cross-country ski trails in the San Luis Valley. You can get the most current information by going to their website, sjnordic.wordpress.com. Big Meadows was groomed with track set on February 2nd. Rock Creek was groomed with track set on January 28th. That particular area is holding up, but getting a little too thin to groom. So if you know and can perform some snow dances, that would be great. Not just for Rock Creek, and Mick is doing a snow dance right now. Chris and Owen, everybody's doing a snow dance right now. Please join us in doing snow dances for the San Luis Valley. The San Juan Nordic Club is not the only Nordic club in the area. The Upper Rio Grande Nordic Club grooms tracks close up to the Creed area. On January 26th, they groomed 6 Mile Flats. January 24th, Deep Creek was groomed. On January 18th, Ivy and Lime Creek was groomed. The South Fork Nordic Club grooms at South Fork and Home Lake, and those trails were groomed on January 31st. And then back up to Wolf Creek, they do have some Nordic trails as well. The Meadows Loop and the Lake Spur Nordic trails were groomed and track was set on February 1st. Further south into New Mexico, Chama has some great cross-country skiing, and trails were groomed. We know for sure trails were groomed on January 5th. We're not sure how often it's been groomed recently, but it's a beautiful area and worth the drive if you get a chance. Avalanche conditions. If you are a backcountry skier or snowshoer, you know the phrase, know before you go. And that refers to knowing what the avalanche conditions are. According to the Colorado Avalanche Information Center, the avalanche danger for the South San Juans is low right now. In the Sangre de Cristo Range and the mountains north of Creed and west of Lake City, avalanche danger remains at moderate, and travel on or below slopes above 30 degrees is not recommended. For more in-depth information on backcountry conditions, go to avalanche.state.co.us. Those conditions are updated every night at 4:30 p.m. And just so that you know, coming up very soon, the Blanca Wetlands, which are north and east of Alamosa, will be closed for all activities starting February 15th and extending through to July 15th. This provides protection for migrating wildlife, migrating waterfowl, and protects their nesting habitat. You know, Mick, you just talked a little bit about ice fishing. Do you know any more about the ice fishing conditions and what the group, the Facebook group for SLV ice fishing is?
I don't know about the group. I know it exists, but I think the last time we were on the ice was Mountain Home Reservoir, and it was just the last weekend. So, yeah, I think, you know, as always, like, you know, stay away from open water, put that 15-foot edge rule into effect. So 15 feet away from open water or edge of ice. And if you have the ability, I know a lot of people go out and just kind of like use an old hole, but if you have the ability, like check the ice depth before you get on it.
Good advice. Colorado Parks and Wildlife will be holding a Southwest Region Sportsperson Caucus on February 13th in Durango. All right, well, the bird sound tells us it's time to transition to another segment. And we want to let you know about Monte Vista and SLV Go, where there's a meeting coming up February 23rd through the 25th to jumpstart an economic development strategy around outdoor recreation. Monte Vista, with Gigi Dennis as the city manager, wants to capitalize on the outdoor recreation movement, much like we've seen with Del Norte and Alamosa. The meeting is at the Sky High Events Center. You can contact Gigi at the City of Monte Vista if you'd like to participate. The event is free and open to the public. And Mick, do you want to say any more about that? Because SLV Go is instrumental in this.
Sure. It was it's a grant with the EPA, actually. And so they're doing the facilitation, and we get to all be community members and have the conversations about Monte Vista. And but we really want the Monte Vista community to turn out and provide feedback and let us know about things they've thought about and opportunities that we may not even know about. That they'd like to see happen with their community. And you know, we talk about economies and we talk about tourism a lot, but we really are focused on the community of Monte Vista and want to know what they would like to have outdoor opportunity-wise for them. We understand that that'll bring tourism and people will probably stop and use it too, but if the community doesn't want to use it or, you know, or they're not engaged in it, then it, what happens? You know, we always rely on the community first. So this is really about Monte Vista and the surrounding areas too. And so if you have ideas and feedback and want to be part of this process, please come. Yeah.
Again, that's February 23rd through the 25th. Contact Gigi Dennis at the City of Monte Vista get more information about how to participate. Colorado Parks and Wildlife is considering changes to policies and regulations that direct the distribution of big game hunting licenses in Colorado. To help inform this process, CPW is looking for input from residents and non-residents interested in big game hunting in Colorado. The CPW is taking comments until February 20th, and then the CPW Commission will report back on March 15th and 16th. You may or may not be aware that the Rio Grande National Forest has closed its longtime headquarters office in Monte Vista after nearly a half century at that location. The forest headquarters will move to Del Norte later this month once the office furniture and data systems installation is completed. The forest office also let us know that all public services provided by the Rio Grande National Forest, including firewood permits, transplant, and map sales, will only be available at the Ranger District offices located in Sawatch, Del Norte, and La Jara. So we plan to give you a few new items like these during each episode of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. Feel free to send us your news item by emailing info@alamosacitizen.com with Outdoor Citizen in the subject line. All right. A big event coming up is the 40th Monte Vista Crane Festival on March 10th, 11th, and 12th. On Saturday, March 11th, is the premiere of a short documentary by Christy Bodie. The mock documentary is entitled Where the Cranes Meet the Mountains, and it will show March 11th at the Sky High Complex. You can get tickets at the MontaVistaCraneFest.org. And I might mention that you can search the Valley Pod for a podcast about the SLV Crane Festival featuring Jenny Nearing and Christy Bodie to talk about the upcoming festival. Well, that brings us pretty much to the end of the first episode of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. We'll do this every 2 weeks and bring in more interesting guests and useful news items and event information. We want to hear from you, too, on topics or guests you'd like us to bring in. Send us events and other news items. You can do that by emailing info@alamosacitizen.com with Outdoor Citizen in the subject line. To give you an idea of what's coming up, on the next episode, we'll get a chance to talk to Monte Vista City Manager Gigi Dennis, get more information about the upcoming event, February 23rd through 25th, on economic development strategy around outdoor recreation in Monte Vista. And we'll also try to get Don Richmond sometime in the next few episodes to talk a bit about the music he makes and how the outdoors is an inspiration. Make sure you follow along by subscribing to the Outdoor Citizen podcast. You can find us at alamosacitizen.com or wherever you get your podcasts. This is Marty Jones. Get outdoors and enjoy the world around us.